Good evening. Welcome to the Buck Stops here. I'm Vishnu Shom on the program tonight. When do we in India get real about moving away from petrol and diesel powered vehicles to shifting comprehensively to electric powered vehicles? I know a lot in the audience, people who are watching, are laughing at that question. Well, we shouldn't be laughing, really. The government had announced that 2030 was the target, but since then, the minister, Nitin Gadkari, seems to have softened his position somewhat, stating that it was not the intention of the government to bankrupt any car company. So where really does that leave us? On the program tonight, some of the biggest names in the auto industry, the Bollywood star Gulpa Nag, who herself drives an electric car, and environment expert Sunita Narayan with us on the dream to go dream. The dream to go green. And whether it is the auto industry that's essentially the stumbling block. Well, let's go straight across now to Gulpa Nag as we start our debate this evening. 2030, will it be possible for us to shift completely away from petrol and diesel and have electric powered vehicles? Is that at all possible? Gul, thanks very much for being with us. 2030, that's what the minister said. Some would say what he said yesterday, he backed down just a little bit. But 2030, do you think it's doable?
Vishnu, I don't think the government has indicated indirectly. They have had a rather open declaration of intent when they say that they plan to go fully EV by 2030. I think the important thing here is to recognize that the government is being very proactive and is actually acting like a mature and a forward-thinking government of any developed nation would. Is it achievable? Well, the policy infrastructure is somewhat beginning to fall into place, but it is going to be a very, very challenging task to try and psychologically convince drivers out there that electric vehicles are indeed an alternative. Gul, or rather the only alternative.
You drive electric cars. How long have you been driving an electric car, and why did you make this choice?
So I've been driving an electric car, Vishnu, since 2015. I'm actually on my second electric car. I used to drive a two-door Mahindra Reva E2O, and now I've upgraded to a four-door, and I couldn't be happier. It works very well for my local commute. It is it's very trouble-free. In fact, I charge it about not more than twice a week, and I've actually not driven my other cars as much as I drive the electric car these days. In fact, I have to remind myself, put a reminder on my phone to drive the other cars, because you know what tends to happen in Bombay when you don't drive your cars regularly. But the point I'm trying to make is the convenience of electric is unparalleled. But it is a conditional switch that we need to make, and the government mission and the government vision to take us towards that direction is a very laudable one, and one must appreciate it. And even if by 2030 as little as 20% people or 20% vehicles switch to EV, that's a massive number. I mean, we're looking at close to, you know, 5 million vehicular sales every year over four-wheelers and two-wheelers. So even 20% of that number is a massive number. The other thing to also keep in mind when we speak of electric vehicles is to put it in context. So I'm actually going to, you know, take a step ahead and be the devil's advocate for a moment, even though I'm completely converted. In fact, I'm probably a pioneer in at least my area. I don't see very many electric cars. Now, when I say we need to associate and adapt and view electric mobility like we did when we were adapting to the internet. So back in the 90s, we had dial-up. You were stuck to your house if you had to access the internet, and you had the slow VSNL connection that would take you online, remember?
Yeah.
And then as time went by, our dependency on that dial-up reduced, and newer and newer technology innovations came. Try and see that in perspective when you view electric mobility. The time's not going to be very far when range is going to increase, when infrastructure will be readily available, although that is not a prerequisite to go electric. Okay. For instance, back in the day when we first made the switch to mobile phones, we didn't look for other people's charging infrastructure to charge our phones. We left home with our phones charged. This is before the advent of charging stations, courtesy charging stations. This is before the advent of power banks. We were self-sufficient. So try. I would like to encourage the viewers to think about that time and how quick the transition has been.
All right.
So even here today, I am completely self-sufficient. I don't plan to run out of charge somewhere and then rely on infrastructure to charge my vehicle.
Okay.
So within the city, I think
it makes sense within the city. I take that point completely, Gul. Thanks very much for sharing that with us, and thanks very much for setting an example in using an electric car yourself. Joining us in the studio, BVR Subbu, former president of Hyundai Motors India, Jagdish Khattar, who's been associated with Maruti for a very long time, now the founder of Carnation Auto, Sunita Narayan, director of the Center for Science and Environment. Mr. Khattar, the sense is that it's not a lack of willingness among people to adopt electric cars. It's just that the auto industry doesn't want to do it because, why? Is it because it's economically unsustainable to actually achieve this by what, 2030?
Sorry, there has been interruption, but I got your question now. Let me say first that automobile industry is ready to follow any direction which is given by the government. There is no problem in that. And one should not get a feeling that they are reluctant to do so. What they are really asking for is a roadmap. It cannot be pulled out of the rabbit, because all this, anything in the auto industry takes 8 to 10 years to follow the law. All our manufacturers have been working in many countries and they have been following the law. So, I mean, it is a part of their DNA to follow the local laws. So there is no issue on that. But, you know, same time, let me raise certain issues. I mean, the lady gave an example of mobile infrastructure, etc. First of all, my fear is by talking about 2030 and all cars going, or all automobiles going electric, are we getting away from facing today's problem? Are we saying that you wait till 2030, the pollution would go away because there will be electric cars? What happens till then? I mean, I hope there is not a diversion, and we need to tackle today's problem.
It's not really a diversion, sir. That's a goal. And we need to fix the problem as it stands now with the existing technology. But unless we plan for the future, many would say that, you know, all right, Mr. Khattar, 1 second. Sunita, would you agree with him that it takes 8 to 10 years? That's one of the points Mr. Khattar said, for a car company to actually change.
You know,
so how do we, 2030 is not that far away.
No, absolutely, Vishnu, but I think that's exactly why the government's, assertion right now, and I think the minister has not backed down, in my view.
Yeah,
the minister has only restated his position, saying the government has a clear goal to move us towards electric mobility. And I think that's a very forward-looking statement. And I disagree with Mr. Khattar, because that's exactly the roadmap that the industry should have been asking. And the government is saying, listen, we have a forward-looking plan. We want you to move towards it. And we are putting together a paper that we're taking to cabinet, which is also what I heard the minister say, which will spell out the policy and the directions. Because remember, till now, we have not really had an e-vehicle policy.
There's no
legislation per se. We've had some sort of broad talk about it, but in fact, and I'm sure the auto industry will bear me out when I say, they've made money because they have been able to produce what I call a fake electric. They call a mild electric or a mild hybrid.
Yeah.
And it's actually a fake hybrid and got huge amount of subsidy. And got huge amount of subsidy.
It was a feel-good factor.
It wasn't a feel-good factor. It was somebody making getting a lot of subsidy for diesel, fake hybrid. Now, I think it's good the government's coming up. And your other question, can it be done? Yes, it can be done. We did the CNG transition in just 2 years in Delhi.
Yep.
We can get the infrastructure. Things are moving very fast in the electric field. More than anything, we need to make sure that we are doing electric because of local air pollution.
Yeah.
We are also doing electric because of our imperative of reducing our import bill. So we have a clear reason for me moving towards
well.
It, and environmental reasons.
Absolutely. Mr. Subbu, you know, as the former president of Hyundai, and for that matter, how would any car company in India actually transition to that? And I'll tell you why I'm asking that. There were petrol cars initially which sold a lot. The industry moved entirely to diesel, almost with 70% of passenger cars at one stage turned out to be diesel cars. Now the legislation has changed once again, and petrol cars are once again encouraged much more. So you've had factories changing, new technology coming in, and now if the government says that, look, 2030 or whatever it is, you need to change once again, how exactly does any car company hope to do that and make a profit, transition to new technology?
Well, Vishnu, let's look at the architecture of cars. How significant, how different really is an electric car? The chassis systems are the same, the body is the same, the interiors are the same, everything is the same. What you're really doing is you're putting in a new drive line, which is you're taking away an engine, an IC engine, putting an electric motor into it, you're removing the transmission, and you're putting controllers, and you're putting a battery system. That's all you're doing. So what are you really doing? You are making redundant a huge chunk of capacity that and capital, you know, expenditures that companies have, you know, put in place to make engines. Nothing more than that. Can they do it faster than that? Of course they can do it faster than that. The moment consumers start actually driving new electric cars, consumers will stand in queue for electric cars, and willy-nilly, the industry will have to move to electric cars themselves. Because if they don't, there'll be history.
No, but
so I think it's not so difficult.
Okay.
Moving between today and 2030, I expect to see that as soon as you see one person coming in the good electric cars, I mean, not the kind that we really see today, but international quality electric cars, I believe you will see a very rapid transformation pushed by the consumer.
Sunita, you had a point, and then I'll go back to Mr. Khattar.
No, two points. One, I think on your diesel point and the petrol point. Let's be clear, it was all about a policy distortion.
Yeah.
Okay? You had a price differential, which was very huge. People moved to diesel because of the price advantage. We argued then and with you many times, Vishnu, saying that we basically want that distortion removed. And we knew the government couldn't bring the prices together, so we said, do something about diesel. Now the policy has changed, the price differential is lower, you have a cap, 10-year-old cap on diesel cars, you're seeing already consumers moving away from diesel. So the policy signal is very important, and I think that's the point for electric. The other point for electric is, how do you define mobility? Okay? That's very important, because if the emphasis on mobility is private cars still, then I think electric is a good option, but not a great option.
So it goes back to public transport.
Because remember, electric still means generation of electricity.
Possibly to
thermal energy. And therefore, all you're doing is to move the source of pollution.
Yeah.
Okay? But if you do electric buses and electric public mobility, you're basically changing the mobility pattern, reducing the demand for the number of vehicles, then you're getting a clear game changer. You're getting pollution abated locally, you're also getting pollution abated nationally. And that's the big dream that we have.
We still have to overcome absurd arguments that apparently in Delhi there's not enough space to store buses. We'll get to that on another subject.
We'll come to it another time.
Mr. Khattar, Let me be a cynic for the sake of being one, because I'm not actually a cynic of this technology at all. But the point that some people would actually say is that, look, you need certain. Most people in India do not have a garage where they park their cars. They park their cars on the road. Therefore, they need a charging point. Do we realistically expect to see a charging point line up the roads wherever the parking spots, whenever that is available? Most places it's not available in cities like Delhi. Who's going to do that? Who's going to pay for that? And do we actually have the energy to be able to supply this kind of electricity?
One sec,
Sunita. I know you disagree.
Vishnu,
I disagree too.
Mr. Khattar, go ahead.
Please don't take that. I'm against electric cars.
No, I'm not.
But I'm giving you practical problems.
Yes.
You know, we are all focused in Delhi.
Yeah.
We are focused in Bombay. And Delhi, Bombay is India, but not Bharat. I mean, we are talking about electric cars for cities only, a couple of cities. How do you get it across the country? And do you know how many villages are without power today? You have 50 megawatts of diesel generators running in the country today out of 3 lakh megawatts. We are not converting those, but we are going in for electric cars. I mean, have a heart here. I mean, I'm all for it. I'm in Delhi. But I have some experience outside Delhi and rural areas. How are we going to do it? And you know, when we talk about infrastructure, it was in late 90s that the natural gas, CNG, came into India. Today, not even 15% of the country has been covered in the last 25 years. And we are saying that we'll cover electricity network across the country in next 12 years. UK and France are saying they'll go electric in 2040.
That's
we are saying we'll go 2030.
Norway says 2025. So they're different countries with different standards.
Please take my point. We should be followers in this.
We should always be leaders.
Followed technology. We don't have much R&D. We don't have so many resources.
Given our pollution level, sir, why can we not? Sir, the technology is no longer, Mr. Khattar, rocket science. It's not. It's a price issue, isn't it, sir? The price of lithium ion batteries is coming down. It's no longer rocket science.
And also, it's about implementation.
Half a second, Sunita.
Are we going to wait till 2030?
No, we can start right away.
Are we going to wait till 2030?
No, we should start.
Or we have to sort it out today.
Okay. But can I? This is a diversion.
Mr. Khattar, one second. Sunita has a point, and then Mr. Subbu.
No, firstly, this is not a diversion. We already have BS6 coming in. That's a clear statement that will improve. But let's look at the electricity issue, because this is sort of the bogey that I'm hearing. We have such a surplus power situation in this country today. I mean, there is an irony that there is darkness in a large number of people's homes because we don't have the distribution lines, but we do have a surplus power situation. Our power plants are being asked to ramp down today because we have renewable coming in and we have power plants. So let's be very clear. We can do this as far as electric is concerned. We also can be leaders because the rest of the world has already motorized. Mm-hmm. We are motorizing, which means we can change the way we do it today. We don't have to first buy a petrol car, a diesel car, and then replace it with an electric car. We can actually think of doing all of it today. Yeah. So I have no reason to believe that it can't be done. But as I said, Vishnu, it's very much to do with what do you define as mobility. If it's cars, then I don't think electric anything else will make a difference. If you redefine mobility and really move electricity to move people and not vehicles, you will see a sea change in the way we do things.
I would tend to agree with entirely.
But that's so difficult to do. No. There are mindsets involved in a developing country like India, and we've seen this in China as well, where when there is expendable income, the first thing people do is go and buy cars.
It's the most aspirational. And they should buy a car.
It's difficult to change that mindset. Ten years later, that mindset won't change.
Buying and using regularly on a daily basis are completely different issues.
Sorry, go ahead.
You can buy a car, definitely, because it's a part of aspirations. But even that may perhaps be changing with the younger generations moving into ride sharing and stuff like that, out of convenience more than anything else. But having said that, you know, I mean, I've been visiting and meeting with two particular Chinese companies over the last 6 years. I visited them four times the last 6 years, and the kind of leaps they have made in technology is unbelievable.
How?
Purely in terms of, you know, the government has, in a sense, promoted the absorption of technology. And as a result, today, their electric cars, I would say, are as good or if not better than some of the electric cars, that are produced in Europe, for instance. I believe that, you know, and they move there so rapidly. 6 years back, those same two Chinese companies, I would not have bought their vehicle if I was given a gift along with it. Okay, I mean, even if given the vehicle as a gift, I wouldn't have bought them. Today, they are completely different, and they have leapfrogged in technology. It's not so difficult. Today, you are a country that makes controllers for missiles. You can't make controllers for cars. Come on, give me a break. We can do each one of those technology points. We can reach.
Mr. Khattar, you had a point to make. Talk about the technology or the lack thereof. Why can it not be achieved?
Can be achieved. There's nothing wrong with it.
In India, in companies like Maruti or other car companies in this country, Is it true because it's still too expensive for the batteries?
Maruti is going
is it because of the cost of the battery that it becomes so expensive as of today that it becomes difficult for companies to potentially sell these cars? Is that the problem?
Vishnu, even today for Euro 6, our petroleum companies are spending 40,000 crores to make it available in 2020. If they are spending 40,000 crores, a manufacturer will be spending more to meet those norms. Look at the investment required purely in conversion. Where are we spending money on R&D? You know, we sit here and we talk about leapfrog and we go beyond everyone else and we want to be the leaders. Let us see, where is an R&D? Day in and day out, people are saying that we don't have any R&D facilities.
But why does that R&D need to be indigenous R&D? Because most of our car companies have foreign tie-ups. Maruti and Suzuki are closely aligned. We've got Ford, we've got Hyundai, we've got so many other car companies, Mercedes, Volvo, Nissan, you name it. This is foreign technology which is coming into India. And each of these countries and each of these car companies have already immersed themselves in electric car technology for quite a few years now. So we are not reinventing the wheel. We are modifying it for our use.
That's exactly what I am saying. Let them do it. Let them implement and we follow.
But sir, it's more or less been done. It's almost there. We are not talking about Tesla, which has totally arrived. We are talking about other car companies as well, which are offering. Honda has been doing it for a while. Toyota has been doing it with their Prius. Nissan has been doing it with other models. Okay, maybe they were too expensive. But as costs come down, why can it not be adopted here? Is it still because of costs?
I'll just finish it off. You know, it's not difficult to get the car here. If they have the technology, they can replicate it here. But how do you run and operate? I think you yourself are saying, where do you have those infrastructure? What do you do on the highways? What will you do with it? Just imagine the size of the country. Enormity of the whole network.
No, but Sunita, it's also true that we always love to say we will build it.
That's not true. Let's be clear. CNG was part of the factors that there is no
CNG,
gas is
we have
not
taken
available
25 years,
beyond
not
a point.
India.
Okay, electricity is something that you can get wider.
Gas is available. Importing gas today.
The fact is that we did CNG network in Delhi in a matter of just 2 years. Mm. It could have been replicated across the country. Yeah, in Delhi, it was pushed largely because of air pollution reasons. It could have been done in other parts of the country as well. Now, let's be clear, instead of just sitting around and saying it can't happen, won't happen, will not happen, let's all put our heads together to say,
what does it
take to make it work?
Okay, policy is perhaps but what... Yeah. So 30 seconds left, we're out of time. Mr. Subbu, last comment, 30 seconds, I'm completely
I think we should go back to what Sunita was talking about, you know, getting public transport out electrified very, very rapidly. That is probably part of the very quick response to that we can have. I believe you can have trolley buses, for instance. You can have battery-operated buses. You can have hydrogen fuel cell buses. So what batteries are we talking about?
Okay.
Technology itself is changing
so
dramatically.
Battery technology is evolving
Battery technology is evolving. Hydrogen fuel cells will power electric.
So we mustn't close our minds. I think that is the essential message over here.
Our lungs will choke.
We're completely out of time on this program, but we intend to keep discussing this theme very, very closely. Let's keep our minds open and let us overcome these infrastructure hurdles. It does clearly need a policy initiative. I'd like to thank all of you very much for joining us. Out of time. Goodbye. Thanks.